What was Nicodemus searching for? Nicodemus came to Christ by night. He was searching for something. You know, our passage here, it falls within our Savior's, His first year of His public ministry. From John chapter 1, verse number 29, to John chapter 4, verse number 43, all happened in about a year's time. That's about a year's time, His first year of ministry. You know, from John, think about everything that happened during this first year. You know, turn back to John chapter 1. Look at verse number 29. It says, "The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." That would be a pretty big deal. That's a pretty big deal to me, man. I'm saved. This is my Savior. You know, think about this. John speaking to the Jews and the Jewish people that would have heard this. He says, "Behold, the Lamb of God." In that one simple verse, John connects Christ with all the Old Testament sacrifices, the Lamb of God. You know, but before this, John preached something else. Let's go turn back to Matthew chapter 3. I just want you to see what Nicodemus would have heard, what he would have been thinking of when he came to Christ by night. You know, look at Matthew chapter 3, verse number 7. I'm sorry. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them what? "O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, We have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid into the root of the trees, and therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, at whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." Who's John preaching to right there? The Pharisees, to the Sadducees. They come down, they wanted to see, hey, what's this crazy man doing in the wilderness here? What's this all about? You know, that would have been the religious rulers of the day for the Jewish folks. Think about what they would have heard. You know, they're going down there, they're all pious, and they get down to where John is baptized, and he says, "You bunch of generation of vipers." You know, John preached pretty good, didn't he? John, you know, you think about this. John's pretty important to us. You know, Jesus was a Baptist, was he not? Who baptized him? John who? The Baptist. All the apostles, they were Baptists too. Who baptized them? You know, I mean, think about that. You know, I heard one guy say, I always think this is funny, you know, there's only one thing I'd be if I wasn't Baptist. It'd be ashamed. You know, that's my joke for this morning. It probably wasn't that good, but think about everything that they hear. Think about what Nicodemus has heard. He heard John preaching to them. Called us vipers. Called us a den of vipers. Hey, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? He'd heard that. And then he'd heard about John saying that this was the Lamb of God which takes away the sin of the world. Then what else happened in this first year? What else did they hear? Look at verse 34 in John chapter 1. He says, "And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God." You know, this John said that this was the Son of God. You know, look what Andrew goes and he finds his brother. And he tells him this. He says, "We found the Messiah," being interpreted the Christ. You know, look at verse 49. Nathanael says what? He says, "Rabbi, Thou art the Son of God, Thou art the King of Israel." Think about these men that knew these things about Christ, about who He was. These weren't the religious rulers. These weren't the learned men. These were fishermen. These were people with no formal education. They understood who this Jesus of Nazareth was. And they understood who John preached about. And they received him as their Savior. You know, think about all this. You know, and that gets us, you know, the next part we see the marriage of Cana of Galilee where he made the water into wine. And it gets us to our text here. Jesus comes to the temple. You know, and Nicodemus would have had knowledge of all these things. I just want you to think about this. He would have had knowledge of this, would have maybe even been present when this was preached. But I guarantee you, he heard about it. Why? Because we see later on the Pharisees talking about Christ, talking about the things that they was said and done about him. Well, we see this marriage at Cana of Galilee, then we see our passage here, and Christ comes, and he does something that's unspeakable. Think about what he does. He goes into their temple, and he cleanses it. Their temple. You know, this is the temple of Herod the Great, was it not? This was their temple. You know, think about what they were saying when they asked about them. They felt like it was their temple. They did. What are you doing? How dare you do these things? How dare you come in here? You know, and he says, make not my father's house a house of mercy. He says, this house doesn't belong to you. This house is supposed to be consecrated to my father, God. Make not my father's house a house of merchandise. And they ask him, you know, they say, how dare you do this? Who do you think you are? And they ask him for a sign, and he tells them something that just confounds them. You know, and then he performs miracles, and he does all these different things there in all their presence. But in verse 24 and 25, it's very telling. And I think that this is, you know, if you think about this, this is pretty neat. In verse 25, it says that he needed that any should testify of man. What's it say there? For he knew what was in man. He knew their what? Their hearts. He knew what was in them. And you know, and he still does he not? He knows what's in your heart. He knows who you are. He knows if you have a relationship with him. So Nicodemus, you know, hearing all these things and seeing all these things done, hearing the preaching of John, hearing, you know, the things that were said about this Jesus of Nazareth, seeing Jesus come and cleanse the temple, what does he do? He comes to Christ by night. He comes to Christ by night. You know, Nicodemus was a Pharisee, and I know you all know this, but he was a strict observer of the law, was he not? I mean, very strictly. They wanted to so keep the law that they hedged fences about the law to keep that so they might not break the law. That's how serious they were about this, about their religion. They were so serious about this. But Nicodemus comes searching for something that night. You know, what was his statement when he came to Christ? In John chapter 3, verse number 2. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. He comes and he makes this statement to Jesus. He says what? He says, we know that thou comest from God. You have to, because nobody can do these miracles except God be with him. You know, think about you know, all the things just building up within him, and all the things he comes to Christ with this statement. Who was we in that statement? He says, we know. The we was his buddies, the Pharisees. He was one of them. They knew that he had to be from God. They couldn't deny it. They could not deny it because of the miracles that he did. They knew that he had to be from God, but what did they want to come fall down at his feet and say, hey, we know who you are? No. They wanted nothing to do with him. They saw all the things that had just happened. What had they just witnessed? What had just happened? You know, he comes to this temple, and with authority, he drives all those out that are selling the merchandise and changing the money. With authority. He didn't go in and ask for their permission, did he? He didn't go in and say, you know, if you just let me today, I don't like what's going on. I'd just like to just take all this out. He didn't do that. Why? Because he had authority. He had authority. You know, and so he has this authority. He does not ask permission. And they're like, well, who do you think you are? Think about what they're doing. This is God. This is God comes into their temple. God. He comes in and he says, this isn't right, this isn't right, and this isn't right. Get it out. And they're like, who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? He didn't ask them permission. You know, I mean, as a side note, how many times does God come into this temple and say, I don't like this, 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 and this? Or, hey, I want to get rid of this. What should I do? But what do I do? If I buck against that or fight against that, what am I actually saying? Who do you think you are? Oh, no, I would never do that. But we do in action. We do. And so, you know, they ask him for a sign. And he tells them something that just baffles them. And then on the feast day, you know, like we said, he performs miracles and many do what? Believed on him. Many believed on him. What did they see? What did Nicodemus see? He saw authority. He saw purity. He saw wisdom. He saw power to perform miracles. You know, he saw all these things and he said what? You must be from God. You must be from God. He called him teacher. He called him rabbi, teacher. What did he taught him? Had he sat down with, you know, formally and said, hey, get your book out. Hey, let's learn today. But he called him rabbi because he was teaching him something. You know, when he cleansed the temple, he was showing him, he was teaching him what? That his religion was not lining up with the law that he said he worshipped. That's exactly what he was showing him and teaching him. He was showing him that his religion did not give him a relationship with God. And that's what Nicodemus was searching for. Look at this. You know, I believe God got a hold of Nicodemus' heart. This was Nicodemus the Pharisee. If anybody could know that, hey, they're right with God, would it not be him? Would it not be one of these Pharisees that had, you know, that had hedges about the law so that they might not break the law? He should know whether or not he's right with God. You know, God got a hold of his heart. And he said this in his heart, I believe. This is what I said the day that I got saved. If this is true, if this is right, I'm wrong. If who this man is, think about this time. Jesus is being revealed. You know, people are saying that he's the Christ, that he's the Lamb of God, he's the Son of God, he's the King of Israel, all these different things. And, you know, Nicodemus in his religion, if this is true, if this is right, I'm wrong. Every single person that's ever saved comes to that point in time and that realization. What? If this is right, I'm wrong. If this book is right, if that preacher says is right out of this book, if what I read is right out of this book, then I am wrong. Every single person that's ever been saved comes to that realization at some point in time. I did after having my own religion for some 5 years. Having my own religion, having been faithful in my religion for over 5 years. I had to come to that realization that my religion does not give me a relationship with God. My relationship with God dictates my religion. That's what it does. Because I want to stay as close to this right here as I possibly can. So every single person comes to this. Let me ask you a question. Do you remember when you came to that? You want to stay humble? You want to stay humble? Remember when you came to Christ. What pride did you have when you came to Christ? You had nothing. You had nothing. He came and He did everything for you. He did everything. Hey, you know, they say the ground's level at the foot of the cross. Hey, it's the truth. No one other person is better than me. And no, you know, and I'm not better than anybody else. Why? Because we're all saved the same way. We're all sinners in need of a Savior. And Christ came to perform that for us. He did that. Hey, you know, do you remember when you came to the point in time in your life? Man, I am wrong with God. I don't have a relationship with God. I can see it by the fruits that are in my life. Everything I've been doing, things I've been thinking, you know, who I am. I came to the realization of who I was before God. Nothing. But something. He made a way to where I could be saved and become one of His children. It's all about relationship. You know, Romans chapter 5 verse 1 says that we can have peace by this man, Jesus Christ. We can have peace with God. You know, it says peace with God. That means at one point in time we were not at peace with God. We were at war with God. Our sin, who we are, who we were. You know, and so, you know, Nicodemus comes with all this. How do you know he comes with all this in his heart, Brother Pittman? Well, what's it say in verse 25? For he knew what was in man. Well, look at everything that he had heard and he had done. But if this doesn't answer your question or you think that I'm reading something into this, Why does Christ say, why does the verse 3 says that Christ answered him? Answered him. Jesus answered him. You know, what he came to him was in statement form, was it not? He didn't ask a question. He didn't say, well, hey, you know, I want to know if you're the Christ. I want to know how I can go to heaven. I want to know how I can be right with God. He didn't do that, did he? He says, in statement form, he says, we know that thou art teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou do except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Why does he say that? Verse 25. He knew what was in his heart. He knew what was in man's heart. And he still does. You know, what were the Jews always looking for? They were looking for the kingdom to be restored. You know, this Pharisee here would have been looking for the kingdom to be restored. He was wondering how he could make sure that he was going to be a part of it. Because all the things that he heard are telling him something's not right. What I'm doing is wrong. Christ says, unless a man be born again, he cannot even see the kingdom of God. What did Christ bring into the world? Light. He said, you can't even see it. By the light of him. And he goes on, he says, you know, this is a combination that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Talking to who? Nicodemus. So interesting. This is an awesome passage. He says you must be born again. You look it up in the Greek, it says mean born from above. You look it up in Webster's, it says be born for a second time. So I put it together. I'm from Southeast Missouri. You know, I put all the definitions together. You need to be born a second time from above. That's what it means. Unless you man be born again. And Nicodemus says, okay, I understand. I'm going to do that. He doesn't, does he? At one point in time, he says, how can this be? How can these things be? I have my religion. I have all these things that I've kept, all these laws, all these different, everything I have. How can this be? You know, it threw him for a loop. Christ starts to try to explain this to him. He says, hang on, let me explain this to him. You know, he says, how can you be a master of Israel and knowest not these things? What was, you know, the basis of the Old Testament? If you look at it, if you just get down to every single thing, it's about the condition of what? Your heart. Your condition of your heart. How many times do we hear David say, create in me a clean heart? What did David pray for Solomon? Hey, put in my son a perfect heart. All these, the heart. When God sent Ezekiel out, he's talking about the heart. Jeremiah, he talks about the heart, about having a new heart, and how your heart should not be hard if you're saved. He calls them stiff-necked. He calls them, you know, uncircumcised. He calls them all these different things because their heart was hard. And Christ says, you must be born again. You must be born from the inside. Hey, you must be born again from above. A second time. So he says, here's the solution, verses 24 through 21. And he gives him this solution, but he knew Nicodemus. He said, he knows the Old Testament. And so he gives him an Old Testament example, does he not? But turn back here. Numbers chapter number 21. Numbers chapter 21. That's why you should always mark your passages, because sometimes you get nervous. You're like, where's Numbers at? You know, Numbers chapter number 21. Look at verse number 4. It says, and they journeyed from Mount Hor into the way of the Red Sea and compassed the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses, whereof have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there water, nor our soul loatheth this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. And look at verse number 7. What does it say there? It says, therefore the people came to Moses and said, what? We have sinned. For we have spoken against the Lord and against thee, pray unto the Lord that he take away these serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. Moses made a serpent of brass, put it on the pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, what? He lived. This is the Old Testament example that Christ gives to Nicodemus. What happened first before that serpent of brass? They acknowledged their sin. We have sinned. And specifically, we have spoken against the Lord and against thee, pray unto the Lord. This is how they did it back then. I mean, think about this. You know, they said, we have sinned. We are wrong. What we've done, our actions have made us wrong with God. We need a way of salvation. We need a way to be healed from this. They had to first acknowledge their sin. Is that, I mean, where's repentance at in John 3? Right here. Look at it. I acknowledge my sin. I've turned from it. Hey, I need help. And Christ tells Nicodemus, he says, just as the serpent was lifted up into the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. He gives him this example and he shows him, this is the way to be born again. There's only one way. And he shows him this. You choose to humble yourself, Nicodemus. You choose this. Don't harden your heart and die. Because what happened to those folks that hardened their heart? I'm not looking at that thing Moses built. They died. I'm not looking to what, you know, Christ did for me. I'll do it on my own. You'll die and go to hell. Your religion does not give you a relationship with God. It will not make you right with God. They were condemned. Christ goes on and he says all this. He talks about the world already condemned. You know, turn back there. Turn to John chapter number 3 again. Look at all these things that he's saying. To who? Nicodemus. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. To this religious man. For everyone that doeth evil hateth light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God. Cometh to the light. To who? To Christ. Saying this to this man, this religious man, Nicodemus, you're lost. You hate light. Why? Because in all honesty, it reproves your wicked deeds. It does. Well, wow, this was Nicodemus. Yeah, it was Nicodemus, and Christ told him this. He tells him the way of salvation. How is it? You humble yourself and you come to Christ. You believe. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. You believe. You believe. You want to know how I know that I'm saved? Because the Bible says I'm saved. The Bible says whosoever will repent and turn to Him is saved. Is that not what Paul preached? You read it this morning. He preached repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he preached. You want to know why I'm saved? Because that verse says I'm saved. Not because of something that I've done. Not because of something that I said, because of the Word of God says that if you believe, you'll be saved. It's not by works of righteousness that I've done, but by His mercy He saved me. That's who saved me. His mercy saved me. It's not something that I've done. He's trying to show Nicodemus, it's not something that, if anybody could be saved by works, don't you think it would have been this Pharisee? I would think. That's not the way. It's by belief, it's by faith, it's by acknowledging the fact that you're a sinner, turning from that, knowing Him as your Savior. So what was Nicodemus searching for that morning? I believe he was searching for salvation. And you know, I believe Christ believed that too, because of the passage here. So did he ever find it? Well, you can read in John chapter 7, we won't go there for sake of time, but John chapter 7, verse 45 through 53, the Pharisees sent out men to go grab Christ, and they come back, and they're like, where's he at? Why didn't you bring him? No man spake words like this man ever spake, is what they said. And Nicodemus says, and they condemned Christ, and Nicodemus says, does our law condemn a man before we hear him? And then they rebuke Nicodemus for standing up. Then I think the most telling passage is in John chapter 19, verse number 38 through 42. When Christ is, Joseph Arimathea comes to get Christ's body, he begs it of Pilate. He takes it, who was with him, and buried him? Nicodemus. Nicodemus is only found in the book of John. That's a wonderful, wonderful testimony. He did that in public. In public. So, the Bible says that we'll know them by their fruits, right? We could turn to Luke chapter 6, verse number 44. It says that we'll know them by their fruits. So just by looking at the fruits of Nicodemus, I can say that I believe that the man got saved before he died. I believe it. But think about this. If we're known by our fruits, what fruits do we have? You say you're saved. What fruits do you have? Well, I do this, and I do this, and I do this. No, let's just turn to Galatians chapter number 5. This is the fruits that I'm talking about. This is the fruits that I struggled with. It says the fruits of the Spirit is love, in verse number 22 in Galatians chapter 5. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. That's the kind of fruits. Hey, how much love you got in your life? How much joy? No. Joy when there's no one else around. Hey, how about joy when we sing the songs that we sang this morning and heard those songs? Joy. Love, joy. What else does it say? Peace. Peace. It says that we can have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace with Him. And then another place, Paul says that, hey, we can have the peace of God. Also, two different things there. It says long-suffering. Hey, Dad, how long-suffering are you? What about gentleness? There you go again, Dad. I'm a dad, so I can preach to myself, right? Goodness. Faith. Meekness. Temperance. Well, I don't have the other things in my life. Well, let's just read them. Adultery, I can check that one off. I don't have that. Fornication, nope, clean there. Uncleanness, well, we'll have to look up the definition of that one. What about lasciviousness? Idolatry, oh, hey now, you're getting personal. Witchcraft, nope, check that one off, won't even watch anything with it. Oh, look at this next one. This is a hard one. It says hatred. Well, I don't really hate anybody, really? What about variance, emulations, wrath, strife? Seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. I didn't have trouble with most of those, but that hatred thing, and that, maybe the emulations and the wrath and the strife and seditions, and, oh, no, not really heresies. You wouldn't want me to preach, right? But before I got saved, that hatred one really, 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 really bugged me. Well, what do you mean? Well, preaching, you have to open yourself up a little bit, right? Before I got saved and being in our church, there were certain people in my church that I couldn't stand to be around. Oh, you said that, Brother Pittman. That's wrong. Yeah, I know. There were some people that if they were coming here, I would walk the other way so I didn't have to shake their hand because they aggravated me. It was their fault. It wasn't mine. Right? You've never been there. I mean, this is carnal preacher preaching here. But you want to know something? That same person, I'm thinking of one person individual. I love him dearly now. And I'll let him aggravate me all day long because he loves me. And he's my friend. But before I got saved, I couldn't stand to be around him. Why? Because of his personality. It's the truth. But God made me love him now. And you know that man prays for me while I'm on deputation? He does. He tells me. And I've told him I love him. Why? Because I'm saved now and he's my brother. And I can love him now. So what do you have in your life? Well, I'm just talking about the fruit of the relationship that you have with God. What's the characteristics of it? Is it love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance? Against such there is no law. or maybe some of the other ones up there above. It's one of the two. It is. It says you'll know them by their fruits. And you want to know something? I'm telling you here this morning, you'll know yourself by your fruits. What I'm talking about here, no one else in here would ever know but you. You will know yourself by your fruits. So Nicodemus, he comes to Christ by night, seeking a way of salvation, seeking a way that he can know that he can be right with God. Christ shows him the way, and we see the fruit in his life that he probably got saved. Roll that over to ourselves. God used Paul to write this so that we may see whether or not we're saved. So that we can see, what's the fruit of my life? I'm not talking about outward stuff. Because what's inward will pour outward. But what's inside? What's the things that you know, God knows, about you? It's one of the two. It's all about a relationship with God. You know, we're in missions conference this week. You want to get humble? You want to give what God wants you to give? You need to look back at the day that you got saved. Think about that humbleness. Think about how God brought you there and who you were before you got saved. And think about, hey, you want to know something? God saved me. I am His child. Now I want to do for Him. Why? Because I should be just as humble today as I was back at that day that I was born again. And if we're not, we just need to get it right. We need to take ourselves back to that day and say, Lord, I know I'm saved. Your word says that I'm saved. But help me get back there. Help me get back to that humbleness. And help me to serve you and do exactly what you want me to do. So what fruit do you see in your life? As we pray this morning, we have invitation. Why don't you just ask yourself that? Why don't you ask yourself that? And if you need to, just get down and say, Lord, please bring me back to that place and please help me. And this morning, maybe you might see, the Lord might be showing you in your heart that you're lost. If you are, why don't you humble yourself for the first time today and accept Jesus Christ as your Savior? As we have the invitation, why don't you just deal with these things? Everybody stand up, all heads bowed and eyes closed. I have the preacher come up, and however the Lord's dealing with you, you just come forward.